All right, so we've reviewed six of the interior offensive linemen. Let's jump into kind of the conversational piece of this episode. So first, let's welcome in audio-only people. If you are joining audio-only, you can go to YouTube and check out Ray and I, our review of the top interior offensive linemen from this draft process. We reviewed six players, and now we are going to talk about how we rank them. But first, hit the like button on YouTube if you are watching on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, go and rate us 5 stars. And then go to the App Store and download the All 22 app so you could start playing All 22 Fantasy Football, which is what we are here to represent. But let's start getting into the rankings, Ray. And I think before we do even, it's important to kind of say, right, there is a very, very thin line in this year's draft class between who is a guard and who is a tackle. And to be honest, it's not all that clear to me, right? We only reviewed the six interior offensive linemen today, but guys like Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks and some other guys at the tackle position that we're probably going to do next week very well could be in that interior offensive lineman conversation. So
I want to start another there. One? Yeah, there's a right. ton. And I think it's because there are no real surefire top flight type of tackles in this class. Even the best ones are kind of built like guards and play like guards. So you're right. Those lines are blurred in this class, which is why we've been saying for a while now, last year was the class to get a tackle if you needed one. If you need one in this class, there's some good, you know, Banks is a good player, but you're not necessarily getting the prototype. You're not getting the no-brainer body type there. There's just some more questions there. They're not quite as clean as they have been in recent years. But again, you could find gems anywhere at any time. So again, great players. But yeah, to your point, as we showed here, a lot of the interior guys that we have assigned as such are still playing tackle. And the same goes vice versa for the tackle position, where some of them who have film at tackle in college and are currently being talked about as tackles might end up as guards a couple years down the road.
Right. So I think the way we're going to play this is we're going to rate the six guys that we talked about today. Next week, we'll do the same for the tackles that we talk about. But I think later on, we're going to, and probably during our ranking episode, we're going to have to say, I see this guy as a guard, or I see this guy as a tackler, I see this guy as a center, right? And that'll be our final ranking. So bear with us with that. I'll start it off. I want you to start it off, right? I think I always do. So give me your number six of the guys we talked about today.
My number six was close, but I do have Jared Wilson as the sixth guy of this group. And I like the player. Again, these are all players. We're highlighting them because we think highly enough of them to be worthy of discussion, because they could be all 22 rookie draft prospects, which based on the math means sometime at day two, likely the very latest, right, for the most part. I like his athleticism. He moves well. I do think he struggles a bit with strength. He's not quite as clean when passing things off. I studied him actually right after Tyler Booker. And aside from the obvious just physical differences, it was stark watching how Booker was able to kind of pick things up in real time as they were happening, as opposed to Wilson, where at center, you're tasked a bit more with that than necessarily a guard. But you kind of understand, okay, this is a one-year starter. This is a young player, so to speak. So there is some maturation that's needed there and is natural. So I like the athlete. He's got some good bones and foundation to him as a player, but the strength is not quite there. He's not necessarily a people mover. You line him head up and you could have some problems, or you line someone else head up on him, rather, you'll have some problems there. And so, good player. I think he's going to be a starter in the league. But we talk about the center position all the time, how there's not very many great ones at all. I don't think this is one that moves the needle. Again, talking all 22 here, he might be a starting center and might be one of the top couple names at the position in this class. But he doesn't really move the needle at the position versus what's out there currently already. So, fine player. I like him a lot. I think he's got some upside there. But I'm not sure he's a real needle mover for anybody. He doesn't change the complexion of your offensive line on his own. So good player at the pivot.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think he is a good player, and he may be my number one center. Like, we'll see at the end of the day. But you know, I think that the what you're banking on is that the frame is special and that could be molded into something that's also special. But there is things in the film that give you pause, right? And make you a little bit uncomfortable. So I totally agree with you. I think this is probably, in my mind, an early to mid third round pick. So a guy that you still want to take a bet on because of that physicality and body type, you just bet on that kind of a player. But I had him at five. I had him at five. I had Marcus Bowe at six. And I will give you kind of some information on that. Give me 1 second. Yeah. So Marcus Bowe at six for me. Again, for audio only, he is 22 years old, 6'4", 303 pounds from Purdue, played a little bit of guard and tackle, didn't really do much at the combine, but grading-wise, 73 offensive grade, 77.2 run blocking grade, and 68 pass blocking grade. I think his frame is what you're banking on as well with Bowe, but it's just not, it's not, in my mind, a perfect frame for a guard. It's a good frame for a tackle that, you know, you hope can maybe move around a little bit, but I don't think it's like prototypical guard frame. He's only 303 pounds, and I think he wears it well, but it's kind of like more of an athlete build, and not necessarily like, I like guards that are a little thick in my mind, right? Like I like guys that are a little bit bigger, a little wider, and I don't really see that with him. And I think he had some good things, like you showed, right? Moving in space pretty well. I like that. But I'm just not a fan of the way his body moves in general. Like, it's not super smooth. It's a little heavy-footed. It's just kind of sloppy, a little bit wild. I don't know if you noticed this as well, but he's always in a two-point stance. And if he is moving to the interior, that's likely going to change at the next level.
It's because Purdue's always losing. They have to throw the ball, Chris.
Yeah, is that why? He's also just like, I didn't see great explosiveness in him. Like, right? Like, I didn't see him as like a people mover. And again, if you're talking about moving this guy to guard or center, you kind of want to see some of that stuff. And as well, last thing I'll say is this dude whiffs a lot, like just totally whiffs on blocks again, because I feel like he's not controlling his frame. So I'd have a little bit of a hard time myself taking this guy before the fourth round of the NFL draft. If I was an NFL team, that translates to being like a seventh round pick in all 22. If he's a guy that you want to bet on. So for me, I really struggled with placing Bowe on this list. So he was last for me.
He was not fifth for me. So I'll give you my fifth, and that would be Tate Ratledge. Just, again, good player. These are all good players, so we'll say that up front, because you're looking at me like I don't like the player. Fine player. But the archetype, I don't see the upside once he gets to the NFL as a true people mover, difference maker on the interior. He's got good strength. I think he's fine, but I think you just kind of throw him in there with the rest of the slightly above average guards in the NFL, and I don't think he's going to stick out. 5 years at Georgia. Most of the dudes at Georgia, they don't stay for 5 years for a reason. So that's number one. And with the transfer portal, for all I know, he started somewhere else. Who even knows anymore at this point? But in general, I think he looks the part of someone who was in college 5 years, just kind of big, burly, moves people around. But again, that next sort of level of twitch or ease of movement, you kind of highlighted on one of those clips there. Where he is moving to the left and can't quite seal off the defender to the outside there. And then Chris Paul went over the top and made the play, where he's just missing that little bit of that. And in the NFL, that's going to happen a bit more often, while not necessarily being able to just be as much of a bully as he was in college, facing dudes 2-3-ish years younger than him. So I think he's a starter. I think you can plug him in and he won't kill you at all. I think he'll be fine. But I don't see the next step once he gets into the league, that sort of next level that gets me excited about a player like that. He's someone that's, it's fine, it's safe if it's late, or maybe let's say early day three, I have him in the fourth round. Sure, because this is someone who can be a starter in the NFL. You draft a starter in the fourth round on day three, I mean, that's a perfectly good pick, but not someone that excites me to the point where I'm moving him up any tiers versus some of his peers in the class.
I just had the most insane deja vu. Did you say like almost exactly that about somebody in like one of the last two episodes, or am I dreaming?
I don't know. There's a lot of people that don't excite me that much. I don't know.
No, but it's not even that. It was the whole thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I said someone was at Georgia for 5 years and they shouldn't have been.
No, not that part of it. The other part. But anyway, I have Tate Ratledge at number three. So we are not on the same page about him. And it's mostly because I think a lot of the prospects, and especially the two that we just spoke about, I think are guys that you're just banking on traits, but you don't necessarily see it on film. Tate Ratledge, at least you know what you're getting. And it's obvious what you're getting, which is a really solid, like you said, startable player at the NFL who maybe doesn't excite you, who maybe you're not saying, you know, this is a guy that is ever going to be top five guards in the NFL, but he's somebody that I think could play in the league for a long time at a reasonable starting level. And to me, that's valuable, right? Especially with how thin guard is in the NFL. There's so many teams that need a guy like Tate Ratledge on their team. I think what he does, again, he does it really well. I think he's one of the better run blockers I've seen in recent years. He's a people mover. He's a space creator. He's a guy you want to run behind. He's got good vision in pass pro, even if he's not the best in pass pro. Injury history is my biggest concern, and that's something neither of us talked about yet. But he had tightrope ankle surgery, and I think that was this year. And then Liz Frank, I think he had as a freshman. So those injuries, definitely concerning, right? Is that something you're going to continue? One of the reasons it was kind of hard to get film on this guy is because the games I have access to, like, he only played in two of them, and he played 17 snaps in each of them. So just injuries were really frequent this year, and he just couldn't stay healthy. Does that, you know, take him to the next level? Is that something that's going to carry forward? Maybe, right? That is the concern I have. So if I'm concerned about anything, it's that. I also think with his hand usage and length, it's not perfect. He sometimes throws his body a little bit too much. He has the size to use his length, right? Talking about a 6'6 guy with 32.5-inch arms, he should be able to use length a little bit better at guard, but he just doesn't. So definitely a concern for me. And again, throws his body, wants to use his physicality, which is great in college. But when guys at the next level are a little bit stronger and a little bit better, it's harder to do that. So for me, just a very solid player. I have like a early to mid day two grade on him. So like I could see him literally being in this class, a second round pick.
Wow. That's okay. We see him. Now that we see him differently, you value him more. And everyone right at Georgia gets tightrope ankle surgery. Bowers, a whole bunch of them do that. That's their thing down there. The injuries are concerning, especially on a big body. I don't like ever hearing Liz Frank. I mean, he's a guard and not a receiver or something. So I'd rather hear it for someone like that who's more of a power player. I think what's interesting is of like the names we listed, right? And it's funny because they're on the same team, but the team that likely takes the plunge on Wilson is not necessarily a fit for whoever's going to take Ratledge, just different archetype of player, right? Yet here they were lined up side by side with each other at Georgia. So just goes to show again, the flavors of ice cream at offensive line. But okay, so fine. So who did you have next up, or rather?
Yeah. So
worst up after that.
Yeah. Little recap, right? So I had Marcus Bowe at 6. I had Jarrett Wilson at 5. And I just told you I had Tate Ratledge at 3. So what's missing there is my number 4, which is Greg Zabel. I know a lot of people are really high on Zabel, and I do understand it, right? 6'6", 312 pounds, 32-inch arms, 9.5-inch hands, played all over the line in college, right? 2,700 snaps is great experience. It's exactly what you want. 5-year starter at North Dakota State. Did some things at the combine, which he did well, 26 reps on the bench, 36.5-inch vert, 9'3 broad, and grading was phenomenal. But again, it was against maybe lesser competition. I think the positional flexibility is a huge bonus at the next level. NFL teams love that, right? And they really go for it. He has really nice arm length and ability to battle. If you go back and watch the film, I showed a lot of that. His length and hand usage is phenomenal. He's got good movement skills for that kind of height. And I think it is because he wears the weight well. And he does a really nice job of keeping things in front of him, always keeping things in front of him. Only things are, I do think he has a little bit of a strength issue where he struggles to hold the point of attack for long enough to really keep a play going, right? That might not be a first read kind of play. And he might hand strength, right? It's hand strength and holding on to those blocks. Those are my biggest concerns for him. So for me, it's like I don't necessarily see him as a fit at guard. So if you're telling me this guy's a tackle, like I kind of see it, but he doesn't necessarily meet the traditional minimums that you'd want for a tackle. So is he a center? Maybe. And again, people are kind of saying that he's who's the player, Ray? We talked about it earlier.
Graham Barton.
people are making the Graham Barton comp. I don't see that. I don't think he's that same level of player. So I take a gamble on a guy like this as a mid second to late second round pick. If I have a need at center and maybe you want to have some of that tackle flexibility, but that's only in those specific situations which I think limits him a little bit at the next level. Cause I really don't see this guy as a guard. Where did you have him?
So I had him at 3.
Okay.
And 3 and 4 were very close to me. So as you can imagine, my 4 was Bo. I'm a little higher on Bo than you are. I think he's athletic. I think Zabel showed a bit more stiffness than Bo, but was able to use his hands better. You mentioned that, bit more powerful, and can kind of real was just more of a mover. So someone who, if we're transitioning someone into guard on the inside, you got to have some power there. And I think that's the concern with Bo. Whereas Zabel, you have some athleticism concerns there overall, perhaps, but I think I could see the fit at guard, even probably a little bit better than you or more optimistically than you, I should say. So yeah, Bo at 4 for me. I'm a little higher in athleticism, but if you're on the inside, you have to be able to move people or be able to absorb power. And he doesn't do that too well. Now, again, you get him in the right system where he's moving around quite a bit, getting out in space, a lot of that zone blocking and things of that nature. He could be highly effective. This is someone, if he goes to the 49ers or something like that, I could see Bo all of a sudden grading really highly early in his career and everybody being really high on him, right? Whereas Zabel might not have that type of upside in a zone type of scheme, but is a bit more scheme flexible, which is important and a talking point I'm going to get to maybe a bit later on in this episode. So I'll leave it at that. But I had Bo at 4. I had Zabel at 3.
And I get why you like Bo, because you are very much like, I want the traits over like, again, Tate Ratledge, which you know exactly what he is, which is more kind of my speed. You're like, hey, just give me the traits and I'll figure it out. I want the team that can make the most out of the talent, the raw talent that this player has. I can make that work, where I'm saying Tate Ratledge is good. Let's plug him in and he's going to play for me for a long time. So I get that. And I get why you'd have that. Interesting that you had those two guys close, him and Bo and Zabel. I definitely liked Zabel a lot more. You called him a little stiff. I think it's called form. Bo did not have that. And that's what really concerned me about him. It's just that lack of technique. Right. But that means he needs 2 or 3 years of extra wiggle room before he could even get there. Right. And that's, agree to disagree. And I am really excited to talk about the top two guys, because I struggled with which one I had above the other. I didn't think it was as clear cut as I think some other people think it is. I had Tyler Booker at 2. So I'll just talk really quick about Tyler Booker, who is 6'5", 321 pounds, out of Alabama, still just 21 years old, but 34-inch arms and 11-inch hands. Is there a reason this dude didn't play tackle? Like, what is the reason he didn't play tackle?
Oh, well, we saw it. He showed at the combine, too. He's not necessarily the fleetest of foot out there. I'm not going to say he's not really an athlete. You could say that.
No, he's definitely an athlete, but I get it, right? But he is the guy that definitely has the size where you're like, man, if somebody trained this guy, there's a chance he could be one of the better tackles in this draft. But regardless, played over 2,000 snaps at Alabama, combine 5'3", 840, right? That's what Ray was touching on. 27-inch vert, 7'10 broad. Not inspiring numbers. 66.5 offensive grade, 86.5 pass blocking grade, 63.9 run blocking grade. And the reason I have Tyler Booker at 2 is, I'll talk about the positives, extremely strong, right? And heavy-handed in pass protection. And I love that, right? When I'm talking about tackles or guards, the biggest thing in pass protection for me is, like, if you're getting rushed, whether it's somebody's putting an athletic move on you or they're trying to bull rush you, if you get hands on them, you need to be able to hold them at their point. And Booker does that better than anyone in this class. So fantastic job of that. Does not allow pressure. Like, I watched a lot of his tape. He does not allow pressure in the pass game. He has a chance. I don't think anyone has a chance against him in pass rush. And I think he's exactly what you want in goal line situations. He can play that better than anybody else. But the negatives to me were not to be missed, right? Like, there are things in here that hit me pretty hard where I'm saying, it's not surefire. Like, it's just not surefire that this guy's going to step in and be an absolute stud, which I think he has the potential to be a top five guy. These top two that we're talking about, I think both have the potential to be top five at their position in the long term, which is great, right? But the negatives on Booker to me just really were concerning. So you talked about him not being quick enough always to get to his spot on pull plays. And I saw that over and over and over again, where he's just not getting out there quick enough and he's causing disruption when most guards in the NFL need to be able to do that. I don't think he has elite vision on stunt plays. He can be successful with them, but it's not like next level vision that you'd want from maybe a first round guy that we're talking about. I think he also struggles to move people in the run game, which is kind of crazy, right? Like, when we talk about the run game and you talk about Alabama interior offensive linemen that are over 300 pounds, you expect them to be people movers. Booker's kind of not that. Like, he's really good at holding points of attack, right? And it might be because he has limited athleticism and explosiveness because of it, but he doesn't ever really push people backwards, which is a little concerning to me, again, when you're talking about him being that high level, that high caliber of a player. So I do have him as that borderline late first, early second round pick, and a really solid player that I would be very confident in taking, because this is a pass happy league and you want guys that can do really great jobs in pass protection. But I do have big concerns on him, considering the league is starting to move to being a little bit more run centric, and he is not that for me.
So I had Jackson as clearly my number one guard. Incredibly high on him, but
did not expect us to agree on that. Okay.
This goes back, Donovan Jackson for me goes back like 5 years. He was the best high school offensive lineman I have ever seen coming out of Texas. I was devastated when he made his college decision, but to me, he's honestly the greatest high school offensive lineman I've ever seen, just flat out. I was very young when Tyron Smith was in high school, so let's just say that. But yeah, so before getting into Jackson, though, Booker, the thing, it also applies to Jackson. I think he's an incredibly smart player, though. And so for me, I understand the when you see the athletic limitations, you wonder about bust factor. I think he's smart enough to not have that. I just don't see him flaming out at all in the league. The difference between the two of them, Jackson can play in any scheme. And in the NFL, there's coaching turnover all the time. About a third of coaches get fired every single year. So you're going to have a new coach once every 3.5-4 years, give or take. And Jackson's the type of player that could play in any scheme, anywhere. Booker, scheme limited. You can't just place Booker on the Miami Dolphins and think you're going to get the same player that you saw on tape at Alabama. So there's some scheme limitations there. But he is a young player, so I do think it both in terms of athleticism and explosion numbers, there's still some there. There's still something untapped there that I think can be, can be sort of drawn out of him. And I do see a better profiler on the ground or in the ground game because of it in the NFL than the inconsistency we saw there at times. So I think he's a pretty easy projection, right? A gap scheme type of guard on the interior who is going to really hold up and strengthen the spine of that offensive line, keep the pocket clean for your quarterback. He's not going to get pressure up in his face, at least from his man. And that's incredibly valuable in today's NFL. Donovan Jackson, to me, offers all of that, but with the athleticism, but with the scheme flexibility. He can move in space so well. He's also really smart, especially early on in the season. My takeaway from watching Ohio State's offensive line was they didn't seem to be terribly well coached. That got a lot better as the season went on, but there were plays where I was watching and Donovan Jackson was the only one properly passing defenders off and just having no help or support whatsoever. And I was wondering, what the hell's going on here? Why is he the only one that seems to have like a 400 level understanding of what's happening on the field and others don't? And then you saw, you know, he answered the call when their left tackle went down and he had to play left tackle for the remainder of the season early on. Did a heck of a job there. Got better. Obviously got whooped by Abdul Carter. Everyone does on the edge, so don't hold that against him. But to me, Donovan Jackson is just literally name whatever it is at offensive line. He's at least an 8 out of 10 at that, if not better. At literally everything, but with a great frame, light feet, heavy hands. Are they as heavy as Tyler Booker's? Probably not, but his feet are lighter. He could just do whatever is asked. You just put him at guard and you don't have to worry about that till he's 33, 34 years old, 10 years from now. I don't have an ounce of worry about Donovan Jackson when he's on the field. He's super steady and he offers you value add in both the pass and run blocking game. So I can't say enough about Donovan Jackson. I'm smitten with him as a prospect. He's clearly my number one, and that's no slight to absolutely anyone else on the list, but I've had my eye on him for a while. I think he should have come out last year and been a very high pick, but yeah, Donovan Jackson's the clear number one interior lineman in this class for me. And again, we'll dive a bit deeper at tackle, but probably the number one lineman overall in this class. So
that's
my guy.
Okay. All right. I like it. And I mean, just again, audio only people, Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, 22 years old, 6'4", 315 with 33.5-inch arms, 9'7" hands, 4 years at Ohio State, 2,500 snaps, did not participate in the combine, grading 71.8 offensive grade, 70.2 run blocking grade, 69.9 pass blocking grade. But those grades, you have to put a little star next to them because he played left tackle and left guard when the injury happened. So he played all over the place and was not natural at left tackle. But again, looking at this and looking at his size, you start to ask yourself, is this a guy that the NFL is going to say, maybe I try him at left tackle, right? Maybe I try him at right tackle. It doesn't matter. I think a team may consider that, which makes me think when I'm watching the tackles, I do need to consider where does he fit in if a team thinks of him as a tackle. But just at guard, I think, you know, you hit it on the head. It's 8 out of 10 out of everything. I think he's really good at just about everything that you want him to be good at. He has that insane positional flexibility, which is great. Very strong against the run, very strong hands, locking onto big bodies. Good movement skills for a guy with that size. I think it's a lot better than Tyler Booker, which is big reason they separated for me. And when he's, you know, he's been healthy throughout his career and played a ton of snaps, which can't say that for everybody on this list. So that's obviously great. I think the negative for me, right, I showed that he loses to speed like Abdul Carter on the edge. Didn't see it as much when he was playing guard. So that might be a tackle only issue. I think his feet could definitely be quicker, though, especially again at tackle. Might just be that he didn't know the form well enough and he's not super comfortable. But I think his feet could be a little bit quicker and his form obviously slightly better because of that. He is the only one on this list that I have as a clear first rounder. I think he definitely goes in the first round. And I would be happy with, like you said, right? He's not scheme dependent. He could go anywhere and be a contributor right away. And if I had to put my money on any of these guys being a top five at their position in the next 3 years, it's definitely Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, I really hope an NFL team doesn't experiment with him at tackle. I hope that's like a break glass in case of emergency situation only, because this guy is just, he's got it all on the inside. I think if he was able to play on the inside all season, as opposed to come Halloween, kind of switching over to left tackle, I think everybody would be talking him as the clear number one guy because everyone on Ohio State really pretty much improved throughout the year. I think he was a big tone setter and driver for that. They don't win the national championship for all the talent that they have, for all the players that they're about to have drafted, most expensive roster in college football, blah, 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 blah. That they do not win the championship without Donovan Jackson. It just does not happen. This guy to me is a future team captain. Again, you're going to put him at guard and he's going to be your guy, your anchor for a decade, and you don't ever have to worry about him, you know, knock on wood, you know, health permitting.
Okay. There's one other guy that we didn't talk about today. That's Jonah Savanaia from Arizona. I will say the reason we didn't talk about him, I see him only as a tackle. I do not see him as an interior offensive lineman. So we will maybe mention him a little bit next week. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at @all22_PFF and give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast, and have a great rest of your day.